How are you today? Oh my God, how are you? I sound like a millennial. I love the way we just plaster titles onto people. When were you born? I was born in 2000. Oh, you're a millennial. I understand. I'm a human being. I don't understand why you're classifying me all of a sudden. But that's what we do. All right, let's get started.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight.
All right.
Things can get a bit weird.
I'm sure.
If you like that sort of thing.
Whatever. Whatever.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
That's very true. Thank you, Julie. Hi, welcome to the program. You want to put your feet up? Go on, I don't care. What do I care? I don't care if you listen to the show while you're naked. I don't care. I could be doing this show while I'm naked. You don't care. Nobody cares. Whatever. Ron, are you a millennial? I can't tell you. I can't tell you that. That's too private. I'll tell you my bowling shoe size. It's 11. It's the same size as my regular shoes. How about that? That's the one reason I don't go bowling. Well, actually, there are many reasons I don't go bowling. But the major reason I don't go bowling, the shoes, man. I can't deal with the shoes. I cannot put somebody put their feet in those shoes. I know they were wearing socks, but do you ever smell somebody's socks? Yuck. That's disgusting. Smells like toe jam tofu. It's, Ew. I'm not sticking my feet in there. Do you know how they deodorize and clean bowling shoes? They put some powder in it, some talcum powder. Whoa, talcum powder. That's a major cleaning agent, right? Yeah. Oh, you put talcum powder in it? Okay, now it must be free of all germs and all fungicides because you put talcum powder. Isn't talcum powder the thing that Johnson & Johnson is being sued for that gives you, like, cancer? I mean, I don't know. I can't do it. Can't do it. Also, it's loud in those bowling alleys. It's not very quiet. You walk in there and all you hear are like pins dropping and balls hitting things all over the place. And it sounds like thunder. It's these heavy balls rolling down a wooden lane and it's loud in there. People are talking and drinking beer and yuck. I don't like it. Eesh. Makes my skin crawl. It does. I just feel like anything I touch in a bowling alley is like, ew, when's the last time you vacuumed these carpets? Ew. Ech. Ech. The other thing I don't like about bowling alleys, and there's a long list, but I don't have time. there's a screen, usually, over your bowling lane, and it shows everybody in the place just how much you suck at bowling. It displays your score on a screen, and that's public shaming. I think that's not right. It's not right. It's public shaming. Look at that. Look at that asshole over there. The bowling shoes don't even fit. And look at it. They bowled like a 10. That's like the lowest score I've ever seen. What a schmuck. No, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Can't do it. Don't ask me to go bowling with you. Can't do it. Bowling's very expensive now. You have to second mortgage your home just to play a few games. I'm serious. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I have a very interesting show for you today. Oh, really, Ron? You haven't proved it so far. Shut up. Shut up. Oh, really, man? You started the show and you should talk about people listening to your show while they're naked and you could be naked while you're doing the show? What kind of crap is that? No argument there. No argument. No, you're right. I have a fascination with aviation. Jet planes and the history of aviation. I'm fascinated by it. But I always read books about the Wright brothers, the not-so-accurate brothers, the Property brothers, Amelia Earhart. That didn't work out too well. All those guys, you know. But modern aviation with the jetliners, where is that going? What's the recent history of jet planes? Well, we have a prestigious person with us today. We're going to do an extended interview. It's fascinating. She has written a book that I have received advance copy. I actually read the book, which is interesting because really I can't read. But that's a joke, by the way. But this book was captivating. I don't like to fly myself. I like to keep my feet on the ground and in bowling shoes, of course. I like to keep my feet on the ground. I don't like to fly. It's like, what the hell am I doing up here? I understand if I want to go to England or something, I can't just like walk over there. And if I take a boat, like my arms will get tired with the oars. So I know the only way to go to Europe is to fly. I get that. But it just seems somewhat humanly unnatural to be sitting in a tube hovering over the planet. It just it doesn't seem right to me. I'm not a bird. But this is fascinating. She's going to be joining us rather shortly here. It is an extended interview. We have her for an extended amount of time. And I ask for that because I guarantee you when you finish listening to this interview, you're going to be fascinated. You're going to be talking about it all day. You're going to be tapping strangers on the shoulder on the street saying, did you hear Ron's interview today? It was fascinating. I know. You're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. So we're going to get started with that momentarily. Before I do, I wanted to just thank you for your many donations. Our tote board is now up to $17 billion. Thank you for donating to the station here. That's a lie. Ron, why would you lie to people? Well, you're right. I'm just trying to be presidential. What a fucking liar, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it like that, but wow. Part of the reason I'm doing an extended interview is because I despise Donald Trump so much that I'm actually tired about him as a subject matter. He's just boring the hell out of me because he is just so definitively disgusting. So I don't want to spend any time on the show today talking about my great disdain for him because I'm really tired of being nauseous. So I thought we would do an extended interview instead. And we're going to do that right after this. Don't go anywhere. Well, where are you going to go? I mean, you got something to do?
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Jennifer Clay joins us. She's the author of Jetliner Cabins, Evolution and Innovation. Very interesting person you are, because you've been in this industry pioneering a lot of advances for quite a few years. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. Thank you, Ron.
And this this is an e-book that's available to everybody, and it's a beautiful book with images and a lot of interesting, you know, the airline travel, has that increased over the years?
Ooh, yes, because now we're looking at about 4 billion passengers in the air in a year.
Wow. It's interesting. I saw a grid on some television show or something that showed how many jets or airliners were in the air at any given particular time, and you couldn't even see the map under it. It was pretty amazing. I had no idea, because once in a while you get a plane flying over your house and you go, oh, but my God, there were a lot of airliners in the air.
That's right, and multiply that number by approximately 100, because that's the average number of passengers. Don't forget, we're looking at tiny flea-sized planes and great big planes like the A380 or the Boeing 747. Yeah. And so you'd have to multiply your number by about 100, and then you'd have the number of passengers that are up there in the air.
Yes.
You know, a great number of people up there in the air. They're not down here on the planet.
It's a fascinating book, sometimes we don't think beyond what is in front of our eyes, but as you say, when you think of the concept and what's actually going on, it's phenomenal. I know that most of us would love to have more legroom, but that sometimes doesn't seem to be the case.
Right. When you're in economy class, when we are cramped into sardine row, then we all start thinking about legroom. Now, if this is a short flight, the length of time we might spend in the cinema or at the football stadium, it doesn't matter. But it does matter after a couple of hours, particularly if you're tall to start with. What about the children? They're not grumbling.
Yeah.
However, economy class, what we've seen over the past 2 years, it's the evolution of economy class. It's called densification for profit aims and objectives. The airlines have crammed in as many seats as possible into economy class.
Yeah, that's in order to make money, which is, of course, it's an expensive deal going on, so I get that. You know, it's funny, as we talk about this, when I was younger, when I was flying, I remember that you could smoke on a plane, and almost everybody did smoke back then. And I'm just kind of amazed that I'm still alive, breathing in cigarette smoke in a tube like that. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Well, in those days, all those armrests had ashtrays, and then they disappeared after the 90s, because it was here in the United States that we started to see the lobbying against onboard smoking. And after the 90s, as you know, the new regulations came into play, and this is very important for the safety and security of passengers on board, and no more ashtrays in the armrests. But yes, you're right, people took that for granted in those days, not just inside the aircraft, but inside cinemas, inside stores. That was considered normal, and you do wonder whether on board the aircraft some people miss their smoking, because maybe the smoking relaxed them, but it's much safer for everybody now with the current regulations.
Of course it is. Again, when I was younger, the biggest concern was being hijacked to Cuba. That was really all we ever talked about or were concerned about. And now it's like, wow, how far have we come as far as our concerns are?
Yes. Those news stories used to be really hair-raising, and now we don't have problems of
none of that sort, no.
But what we do have, we have the airport situation, which is stressful because people have to go through the security lines. Now, the system there is starting to become more modern with machines that can handle the X-ray process more rapidly. And airports have started to channel the passengers so that we don't have those enormous snake lines. But that was the fallout. That was the other side of the coin. You know, the aircraft became very secure with locked cockpit doors, nobody coming on board without having gone through metal detectors and pat-downs. But what happened, the airports then had to take on those responsibilities for the sake of everyone traveling.
Where is airline travel going to be in the future? I know that it's always progressing. It's like when you, it's like watching a child grow up. When you see them every day, you don't notice it. But if you see a child when they're like 5 years old and you don't see him again for a couple of years, it's like, my God, you're a different person. But I guess we're constantly progressing in this industry.
Yes. What we're going to see, and this topic is covered in my chapter called Ways Ahead, very, very long-haul flights, medium-sized aircraft like the Boeing 787 Dreamliner or the Airbus A350, flying for 16, 18, they're even saying maybe up to 20 hours, nonstop. So, you know, we're looking at major routes. And this means the cabin interior will have to be organized to suit these very long flights. And we are going to see much more emphasis on encouraging passengers to move around inside the cabin for their own well-being. And then what are we going to see in business class? Well, business class has been the great recipient of what they call trickle-down product upgrades, because many business class cabins now are as great as, if not better than, many of the first class cabins 10 or 15 years ago. For example, Delta One, American Airlines business class, United, they're all splendid. Passengers have got their own individual little pod suite areas, and they can stretch out horizontal seat, lie flat seat. They have their own lighting controls. They've got their own TV screens with masses and masses of in-flight entertainment. So business travel really has come up several notches. And then in economy, we do see much more in-flight entertainment. We see Wi-Fi enablement, of course, throughout the aircraft. And in economy, as you say, our knees are up against the row in front of us. But if passengers do have entertainment and something to look at, then the journey is made better.
See, I think my biggest complaint about airline travel in the cabin is that one is able to put their seat back into a reclined position. Therefore, the person sitting behind them is squashed out of existence. I think that should be, I don't see any reason why people should be reclining personally, because it's disrespectful to the person behind. I wish they'd take care of that somehow.
Well, that's interesting because, for example, on Iberia, they're just installing economy class seats, Recaro seats, that do not recline. There is no recline.
I like that.
Now, recline is a mechanism, and you can have 3 degrees or 2 inches of recline or 4 inches or whatever, but the airline is able to suppress that mechanism, and the airlines can make their own decisions. And you're quite right. If people make enough fuss, because after all, customer is king, if people make enough fuss, airlines can restrict that recline. The flight attendants ought to be more helpful in some cases, but it's very difficult to argue with somebody who is using the recline feature because it's there, and the flight attendant can't really take responsibility for being a mechanic or an engineer. So, yes, you're quite right. And after all, when we go to the cinema, we can't tip our seats back and squash the person behind us.
Right.
That's not possible.
Right.
So it's not unusual to have economy class seats with limited recline.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely something that's really important for these cramped economy class cabins.
I remember so many times in history where airlines had to sell out to other airlines because they weren't making enough money, and they had to dissolve, and there was, you know, the fuel prices and such. As we sit here today, what is the future of the airline industry as far as economics are concerned? We say that it's thriving and more passengers are using it than ever. Is it indeed a thriving industry as far as good business is concerned?
Well, this is the major marketing question, and there are no magic wands. However, the figures show that airlines here in the United States are doing extremely well at present. Now, when fuel was well over $100 a barrel, everybody was suffering and life was tough. And then the fuel prices came down greatly, and the airlines had to reevaluate their business models. They had to think about which market segments they were going to focus on. They had to think about how to reduce carbon emissions for environmental reasons, meaning save on jet fuel. That means taking the weight out of the aircraft wherever possible, so everything is as lightweight as possible now. All these processes have happened over the last decade or so, and at present, airlines here in United States are doing extremely well. We can't say that about all parts of the world. For example, in Europe, there is talk about consolidation, possibly some airlines being taken over or merged, acquired, or even going out of business. At the same time, in other parts of the world, particularly Asia, we see lots of new airlines coming into being because of the double-digit growth in airline passenger figures over in places like China.
I don't know what your schedule is like. Do I have a few more minutes with you?
Certainly, and thank you for your questions, which are very, very wide-ranging.
Well, I'm fascinated by this, and I think everybody listening is definitely going to go to the book here because it just covers so many different areas of the entire subject. I remember, again, when I was younger, that there was I can't remember the guy's name, but he had an airline that went between New York and London, and it was very low fares, like $99. And it
Freddie Laker?
That
are you
was
talking
it.
About
yes,
Freddie Laker?
Yes.
The inventor of the standby fare.
Yes.
Standby and takeoff with Freddie Laker. Right.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think everybody at that time was on one of those flights at one point or another, because it was such an extraordinary thing, and I know there's nothing like it. There hasn't been since.
Yes, he flew DC-10s. That was a DC-10 fleet, and he kind of invented this instant travel idea and really appealed to the senses.
Yeah.
The idea of just being able to go along to the airport, jump on the aircraft, and if you landed in New York, if you landed in London, there you were on you know, a Laker Skytrain, he called it.
But what a wonderful vacation travel boost it was for both London and New York specifically. It was a wonderful time. The other thing that I wanted to remark on was the failure and death of the supersonic world. That ended abruptly. I guess that was economics.
Well, I work personally on Concorde, and there is a section in my book on Concorde, and I've written several other articles on Concorde, which flew from 1976 to 2003. So this was wonderful. It was the apogee of technical development within the aviation sector. It's something for everybody to celebrate. And Concorde flew for 27 years, which is the average length of time for an aircraft model to fly, the average length of time. Now, for business travelers, this was absolutely wonderful because instead of spending 7 hours flying over the Atlantic, 6.5 or 7, mm-hmm. they were able to make that journey in under 3.5 hours.
Amazing.
With no jet lag. Mm-hmm. And this was wonderful for moguls and entertainment stars,
sure.
top lawyers, diplomats, people in a hurry. Now, people say, ooh, it was so expensive. Well, the fare for Concorde was 20%. It was a 20% premium uh-huh. above the level of the published first-class
uh-huh.
fare.
Uh-huh.
So for a top banker or a top investor or a top pop singer like Michael Jackson
right.
or film star like Liz, that was just the equivalent of a penny halfpenny, you know,
right. Right.
small
right.
potatoes. And for them to gain 3.5 hours of time that they could use to work and send in bills to their employers or have a break, have a rest, that was extremely valuable. So Concorde was a strange product in that it was positioned in an elitist way.
Mm-hmm.
And it did serve this elite market segment,
right.
the top
right.
net worth market segment,
uh-huh.
and they loved it. So yes, late lamented, and we all hope to see more supersonic transport
yeah.
in the future, and we're hearing about programs from Boom, Aerion, Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
It's out there. It'll certainly happen.
Certainly. Did it have anything to do with there was a mechanical failure, obviously, toward
mm-hmm.
the end. Did that have anything
yeah.
to do with it, or did that seem to be, okay, this is a good time to back off of this program?
Well, that's a complicated question.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the French tragedy in 2000 at Gonesse, when the mm-hmm. Air France aircraft caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened after that, all Concordes were grounded. There were 13
right.
in all,
mm-hmm.
7 at British Airways, 6 at Air France, all grounded for investigation, inspection. And then Concorde services started again shortly after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after 9/11, as you know, there was a big downturn
right.
in business travel for obvious reasons.
Yes.
It was not a good time for
no.
Concorde to restart with its engines that had been they'd been relined so that fire couldn't spread, all sorts of upgrades. And it was a difficult time because Airbus supplied the parts for Concorde, and Airbus was very busy at that time with the development of the A380, the giant double-decker mm. aircraft, and Airbus closed down the parts supply manufacturing line. And British Airways was faced with the dreadful situation, were they going to start a parts replacement line somewhere else? But Concorde, by that time, had flown for nearly 25 years. And so in 2003, the Concorde fleet was decommissioned, having flown for 27 years. And apart from the French tragedy, and it was a tragedy, Concorde had never injured or killed anyone. And you can't say that about any other
wow.
aircraft type in the whole history of aviation.
Wow. Well, I don't even have to say that the book is fascinating because, I mean, it just is. It's a Jetliner Cabins, Evolution and Innovation. And whether you're into this subject matter or not, it is fascinating and does take you behind the scenes from somebody that really knows what goes on. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Fascinating. Thank you so much.
Well, Ron, thank you. It's great to talk with you. Thank you, Ron, very
okay.
much.
Before I leave, is there a website where people can get more information besides the book?
Yes. Please go to www.jetlinercabins.com. That's the website, jetlinercabins.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks again.
Lovely to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
There you go. Pretty good, huh? Not so bad. Fascinating. That was fascinating. All right, well, that took up most of the show. So I'm going to be back tomorrow, though, with an incredible program We were already in the planning stages. I've called my team, my production team, into action today to prepare for tomorrow's show. I don't know if you've met my production team. There are 700 people on my team. The payroll is immense. But how else do you put out a show like this every weekday without having a staff of that size? You don't. You don't. It's a great undertaking. And do you pay to listen to this show every day? No, it's absolutely free. And why is it free? I have no idea. I don't know. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? It's probably because my memory is going, because every day I say to myself, I should be charging people to listen to this. And then the next day I forget. You know, I forget to do that. That's been going on for years and years and decades and decades. That's not true, actually. I used to get a paycheck for this from radio stations. Yeah, those were the good days. Where at the end of the week, there was a paycheck of a sizable amount. That was pleasant. Then I decided, hey, Ron, why don't you go into business for yourself? Start your own station. Well, yeah, there's a decision that worked. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. You're not here for me to complain to you about me. You have your own problems, right? Oh, I know you. I mean, I don't know you per se, but I know that you probably have tons of problems, far more than I probably have. That's why I like to hang out with unfortunate losers, because I just feel good about myself, and I'm sorry that you're being used as a pawn, but it just makes me feel good about myself to know that there's so many losers and so many idiots surrounding me. Oh, wait a minute. I think I'm channeling Donald Trump. Ron, you couldn't get through a show without doing that, could you? And now I'm talking to myself. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You really deserve it. For once, you deserve to have a wonderful day, and I hope you do. Surround yourself with people that love you and that admire you. It's not easy to do. Give it a shot. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. By the way, a shout out to the Pope. I know he listens every day. Thank you. Thank you, sir.